In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When the Lord created us, that long, long ago time, He gave us free will because He wanted us to be able to choose things, which is the greatest gift He could possibly give us. It's really self-determination. We get to choose. We get to make the choice. And over the years, there have been some people that would deny this whole idea that we could ever be capable of making a choice. They think that we are completely depraved, that we are incapable of doing anything, I mean anything good at all on our own. Well, this of course is total nonsense. All we have to do is look into the world. We see many times where people have done very, very good things. And not just Christians, but non-Christians as well. They do have that capability. They do really have that desire. Now, unfortunately, those who make the bad choices can somehow color the environment for the rest of us. In other words, it doesn't take a lot of sinning to have an impact on other people. Virtue goes on and on and on, but it has to be completely replenished each time. We have to keep being virtuous. We have to keep doing the things that we know that we should be doing in order to keep the world afloat with that wave of goodness over it. But unfortunately, the things that happen that are bad seem to spread like wildfire, and so we begin to think that, well, maybe after all we can't do anything good. But that's simply not true, and the Orthodox Church has constantly fought against that idea that somehow man is inherently bad. No, God created us good, and that goodness cannot just be wiped away very easily. Not at all. It can be discolored, it can be covered up. It can be sometimes difficult for the goodness to come through, but it's still there. Most people want to do what is right and good. But unfortunately, because of the fallenness of our world, the things that we inherited from the fall of Adam and Eve, which is a corruptibility of our nature, the fact that death entered into the world, the fact that everywhere that we go, we see that we always have to struggle to maintain the good. Because of this, it can be very difficult for us, and we become rather, well, kind of fickle in our natures. We go back and forth. Most of us may do good most of the time, but there are those instances where we don't, where the worst part of us comes out. And in today's gospel, we get an example of this. And this is a hard gospel. It's a very hard gospel for one simple reason. And that's because at the very beginning of the parable, the Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and the parable continues. Now you have to think about that for a minute. The kingdom of heaven, what we all are aspiring to, that which we celebrate even today, that which is among us as we gather for this divine liturgy. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he goes on with the parable that is very difficult for us to really swallow sometimes. But he talks about a king who is what? Settling accounts. So does that mean in the kingdom of heaven there's going to be a settling of accounts? There certainly will be. And in this case, there was someone who represents us. And why is that? Because they owed so much. The scriptures say 10,000 talents. Well, that today would be untold millions of dollars. And we couldn't pay it. We can't pay it back to God. And so the Lord says, well, if you can't pay it, in this parable, take him, take his wife, take his children, and sell them. Sell them. of all things. In other words, as the Holy Fathers tell us, our souls are represented by the man, our bodies by the woman, and the bad deeds that we do are represented by the children. In other words, get rid of them. Get rid of all of this. Sell them away, says the king. But yet, in the good-natured part of that man, falls down before the king, begs him, please, I can't do this. I'll repay you. I'll repay you. I promise. Of course, we know that if he owes millions of dollars, he can't repay it. It's not going to be possible for him to repay it. But yet the king is moved by his repentance. So what does he do? Sets him free. Lets him go. Forgives the debt completely. Because this is what God does. But then, in an amazing turn of events, the man, just reveling in his newfound freedom, goes out and finds someone else that owes some denarii. Now, denarii is just a few dollars. That's all he owes. And he goes up to him and, pay me what you owe me. And that man says, I'm sorry, I don't have it. I can't do it. And is this man charitable? Is he expressing the same charity that he just received? No. He tells him, out of here. Sends him to the cops. Lock him up. You won't get out of there until you pay the last farthing. And of course, that man would never be able to repay. Fortunately, there are some people standing by who see this. They go to the king. And they say to the king, look what just happened. You forgave this man all of this. All of this. And he turned around to a guy that doesn't owe him anything at all. I mean, you know, pocket change. And had him thrown into prison. And so the king then says, bring him to me. You wicked, absolutely wicked person. You're out of here. You couldn't forgive the man what I forgave you, which was a far greater sum. So you're gone. You are gone. And then the Lord ends the parable saying, this is also what my heavenly Father will do to you. That perplexes us, doesn't it? Because we hear that the Lord, and it's true, is always merciful, long-suffering, very long-suffering, is always willing to forgive with even the slightest show of repentance. In fact, St. Isaac the Syrian tells us that he has nothing but mercy. The Lord is pure mercy. But yet here we find out about a calling to accounts. And we mustn't think for 1 minute that somehow it's the Lord who is wanting to settle the accounts. It's us. We're the ones, because we are given the forgiveness. All the things that we've done in our lifetime, everything we've done is forgiven. Everything that we have sinned against anyone with is forgiven. But yet, the Lord expects one thing in return as a demonstration of this forgiveness that we have received. And that is that we forgive others. You know, that's almost the entire gospel. That's on every single page of every single gospel. Judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not so that you don't be condemned. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And in fact, we should take it a step higher. We should do unto others as God has done unto us. This is the heart of the gospel that we find in this parable. The willingness to forgive one another. the remembrance of wrongs as probably the most frequently, well, one of the most frequently confessed things that I hear. Remembrance of something that happened, somebody offended, could have happened a long time ago, it still comes up again, you're irritated about it, family member said something nasty to you, friend somehow turned on you, you weren't expecting it, all of these things, and they just cut us, don't they? They feel awful. But yet, we have no choice in the matter but to forgive. Because if we can't forgive these simple little things, then how can we expect God to forgive us? How is that even possible? That's what He wants from us. He created us to be like Him, to show this same sort of complete blanket forgiveness to anyone who asks it, to have forgiveness for someone who comes back to you and says, I'm sorry, to have forgiveness for someone who does something to you and never says they're sorry. You are to forgive them. You have to do that. There was a story of a monk who had something against one of the brothers in the monastery. And so he went to the spiritual father of the monastery, and he, you know, as the temptation always is, when you're confessing your sin, well, let me lay the groundwork. Let me show you the, you know, what happened. You know, it's always some kind of justification, right? This is why I did this. Not like it matters. The spiritual father didn't care about that. He just cared about the fact that he had something against this monk. And so he gave him an epithemia. And he said, all right, here's what I want you to do then. I want you to recite the Lord's Prayer a certain number of times during the day. And when you get to the part, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, I want you to leave it out. Don't say that at all until you come to the point when you can realize how foolish you are in not forgiving one of your brother monks. That's the way that it is. That's the way that we should be. Because most of the time, the things that we get upset about that are causing us consternation and anger and all these other things, they're really silly things. They're things that are chipping away little bit by bit against our pride. And that's why we can't forgive somebody. That's the most of the things in your life where that's going to happen. It's never going to be anything really serious. What could it be, after all, that is that serious? Somebody goes to someone else and says, you know, this guy is worthless. What a stinker. I can't stand him. He's got no personality. He doesn't do his job right, etc., etc. What if they said that about you? So what? So what? Is that really all that important? No. Is it worth it to you to get all bundled up and enervated and aggravated and wishing to lash out at someone just because your perfect self had been impugned upon? No. It's not worth it. In fact, as St. Gregory Palamas tells us, as he tells us so many good things, you should thank God for every time that happens. Because then you're getting an opportunity to show forgiveness. Every time that happens, it's like someone is just tossing you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Just grab them. Forgive that person. And open that door up a little more. Again, it's a tough parable. But it's one that goes to our innermost beings, to our core, to our very heart. Why else do we pray in the psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit? Do we not really mean it? Are we just saying this is beautiful poetry that St. David wrote, but I don't really mean this? No. If you say it, you mean it. If you don't mean it, you shouldn't be saying it. Just like the guy who had to abridge the Lord's Prayer, if you will.
So let's take this parable into our hearts. Go home and read it. Go home and read it again. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Read that parable. Take your bulletin home. Look at it. Say, wait a minute, is this me? Do I really feel like this? Can I forgive everybody here? Because certainly that's what's required of us if we're going to call ourselves Orthodox Christians. If we're not, we need to call ourselves something else. I don't know what it would be. But that's not an Orthodox Christian, because we are required to forgive, because that's the only way we can manifest the image of Christ within us to everyone else. Amen.